Welcome to Hack the Entrepreneur, the show which reveals the fears, habits, and inner battles behind big-name entrepreneurs and those on their way to joining them. Now here is your host, John Naster.
Hey, this is Hack the Entrepreneur. Thank you so much for joining me again today. I really truly do appreciate it. Today's episode it's a little bit different. We're talking marketing personalization and website personalization, as well as starting a software company and getting your first customers. It's a fun one. Let's do it. My guest today, he was on the show nearly 3 years ago. And at that time, he had recently sold his software business and had started Double Your Freelancing to help freelancers grow their business. Double Your Freelancing, 3 years later, is now a $100,000 a month business, and my guest worked to free himself up. With this time, he's jumped back into software with a brilliant new product called Write Message, a marketing and website personalization tool. Oh, and if throughout the conversation any of this catches your interest and you're listening within the week this episode was published, then head over to writemessage.com/hack, and you're going to get a brand new, it's called WriteBar, this new software that I guess created, and it's absolutely free for your website right now. Once again, that's writemessage.com/hack. All right, now let's dive deep with Brennan Dunn. Have you ever wanted to hire an executive assistant? Somebody who could take care of all your administrative tasks so that you can be more productive? Finn is your high-quality, on-demand assistant that can handle administrative tasks, declutter your to-do list, and keep you focused on what matters most. From booking flights and hotels for you to researching and finding the best Italian restaurant for your next date night, Finn can take care of it all. In fact, anything that can be done virtually or online, Finn can handle. So far this week alone, Finn has booked me 3 meetings, found me a housekeeper, and researched the best coffee pot for my needs. Finn mixes the best of human and artificial intelligence to deliver a top-flight service to manage your calendar, book appointments, take care of travel plans, pay bills, research and buy products, everything a great assistant can do. You've got tasks and you need them done. And I can help you. Once you try Finn, you're going to love it as much as I do. And as a listener of Hack the Entrepreneur, you get to try Finn absolutely for free. In fact, you're going to get 60 minutes of tasks absolutely for free. Just go to finn.com/hack. That's finn.com/hack to try Finn absolutely for free and get your first 60 minutes of tasks done for you. This episode of Hack the Entrepreneur is brought to you by 2020. It's where creative minds get authentic, real-world stock photos. If you're looking to positively inspire your audience on social media or motivate them with beautiful blog posts, then you'll want to use engaging, fresh photos that are unique. Well, 2020 has crowdsourced millions of exclusive photos from a community of over 350,000 photographers. And the best part is, it's all available under a simple, royalty-free license. Plus, today they're offering you, a listener of Hack the Entrepreneur, 5 photos absolutely free. To start yours right now, go to 2020.com/hack. That's the word 20, then 20.com/hack to get 5 photos absolutely free. We are back with another episode of Hack the Entrepreneur. And I don't get to say this very often, but welcome back, Brennan.
Thank you, John. Yeah, it's been, like we were just saying, it's been quite a few years, but it's good to reconnect and talk things through.
Yeah. It's been almost 3 years to the day. I looked it up and it's really cool because I've been watching what you've been up to. And you're on to the second business after the one you were at when I talked to you. So this is cool. So,
yeah.
Write Message is the new business. You're back into software. You were in software, then you were in education, and you still are in education, but now you're back into software. But I've noticed sort of over the last couple of years, you've been really into this idea of personalization in your marketing. So can you just tell us what this is?
Yeah. So the idea is it's pretty straightforward. So when selling offline or over the phone, people, we tend to personalize what we're saying, right? So we, back when I sold a lot of consulting, I would take into account the industry somebody works in. I would take into account, like, how was I introduced to this company? I would use that to influence examples I give and things like that, right? So it's something we naturally do. It's something we do when speaking conversationally to somebody. But what personalization is, or at least our definition is, online, taking into account signals like things like survey answers or the website they came from or the ad they came from or, you know, any number of different criteria and doing the same. So the idea being, if your website is a salesperson, people generally want to know how your product or service will help them uniquely. So if they're in a certain industry, show how you've helped others in that industry. Or if they're CMO, speak marketing to them. But if they're a CTO, maybe speak a little more technically. So the idea is just making it so you can use kind of static, if you will, marketing material like, you know, your website, and making it a little more relevant, a little more digestible for the people put in front of it.
Like how some people have said, like, create a separate landing page for each target audience.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's the same principles, just more on a holistic, you know, level.
And so if we sort of take it out of the marketing world, is there like an example of personalization that's used on some sort of platform that people use all the time?
Netflix. So you log into Netflix, you see videos that they think you would want to watch or movies they think you would want to watch. So that's one example. Amazon does the same thing. I've seen it around the wild, more on kind of enterprise websites. Like, I was booking a cruise and I went to go, I mean, this is more cart abandonment, but I went to go book a cruise in the Caribbean. I left, I came back a few days later, and lo and behold, the hero image is the exact cruise and itinerary I was looking at. And they were encouraging me to continue what I was, where I left off.
And did you?
So I did. Yeah. Well, yeah.
You had
the cruise is booked. Yeah. No, but I mean, it's really just, I think, you know, when you log into a web app, you assume this is personalized to you. It's your data. You log into Facebook, it's John's Facebook. It's your friends. You log into mine, it's my friends. And we take that for granted because, you know, I log in with my username and password, and then this is my data. So what we're trying to do is we're trying to say, well, what if we can get that same effect, but more on a kind of like a persuasion level, right? So showing relevant case studies, relevant headlines, and so on. And leveraging, instead of having them log into your marketing website, instead look at things like if they opt in and then start getting emails from you and so on, and they're engaging in a certain way, or they maybe complete a survey that tells you they're a certain type of business or they're a certain type of business size or whatever else, using that data to make it so you can just be, the content you're showing them is just a little more specific to them. So instead of having them log into your marketing site to view your services offering or whatever else, instead you are making sometimes educated guesses, like where do they come from, the ad they clicked on and so on. And other times you're just pulling data that you're already storing about them in usually your email marketing app or CRM.
So you don't think it's feasible to make people log into your marketing website?
Probably wouldn't work, but, you know, I mean, maybe.
Sounds a lot harder. And so the Netflix one, obviously, like you say, like when you're logged into a web app, you sort of expect it, right? Netflix is trying to kind of get you to be able to choose what you want to watch as fast as possible. Facebook is more targeting things towards you, obviously, as we know, with privacy on the top of people's minds. Now, I think, well, it's in the headlines. I don't actually know if anybody really, truly cares. That's a whole other discussion.
Local people on Twitter care a lot, but the average person, I don't think, is too caught up with it.
They're irate about it, but I don't think they're going to get off Facebook.
Right.
Does this impact what, like, personalization in a way, though?
Privacy?
Yeah, or the irateness about privacy?
I mean, I think my attitude towards this is more of subtlety. So instead of saying, "Hey, John, how's it going?" is the headline of a sales page, what's more interesting to me is just looking at things you've told me. So one common pattern that I use is you join, say, an email course or you opt into a lead magnet. I might ask you a question like, which one of these is the reason that you joined this course? Pick one. And then later on, when they're on the product page that complements the free lead magnet, I just say if they're struggling with closing proposals, talk about how this product will specifically help them close more proposals. Whereas if they're struggling to get started, focus on that. So it's really not like, it's not, you know, machine learning type deep social whatever stuff. It's more just looking at things like, if the referring domain is a web designer or a site that targets web designers, well, we could probably, I mean, we don't want to guarantee it, but we could probably assume that they're probably, you know, a designer of some sort. So maybe we could do more soft personalizations, like when they go to view a, you know, a testimonial, show a designer for them. So it's more like that. It's not like obvious. There's one thing when people are storing sensitive, like medical data, bank data, and so on. But, you know, if I click on a, go to your website from a different website, well, the way web browsers and so work is that that information is already being passed. You know, we're just doing something with it. And ultimately, at the end of the day, you can go incognito mode and you don't need to worry about anything, you know, at that point. So the way I look at it is, I actually like getting more relevant ads to me on Facebook. I'm glad I don't see, you know, women's clothing, because I don't need that. But I tend to like the idea of having, not needing to think as much if I'm considering a product or something like that. I want to be shown, considering anything you might know about me, and a lot of this could be explicit. It could be something that I told you. How will this help me? It's exactly what I would expect if I was being sold to but over a sales demo over the phone. I'd expect them to take into account who I am and what I do, and then show me how they can help me.
I like that analogy of the selling over the phone. That actually, it makes it make a lot more sense to me. And the idea that it's personalization, but not in the sense that like every headline is going to be like, hey, John.
Correct. Yeah.
Here's what you had for lunch yesterday. Maybe you'll like this too. And it's like, how do you know what I had for lunch?
Exactly. Right.
It's more like interest-based in things that I say or do or act within your site or what I might do for a living. But I mean, if you could personalize it slightly so I can stop seeing emails that say, hey, friend, at the beginning, that would be much appreciated, Brendan.
Well, that's just bad. I mean, most email marketing apps can replace that with hey there or just hey, comma. That's just people who don't know how to do templating.
Yeah. So this, before there was Write Message, you mentioned in here this whole, why did you join this course? To me, and I'm obviously not a Brendan Dunn expert, but this is where I saw you really getting into personalization, right? So within, what is it, Double Your Freelancing, you have this email course that drives an impressive amount of revenue. And rather than creating an email course like most people do, which is the 5-day sequence to everyone, you really started to get deep into this idea of personalization. Mm-hmm. Can you sort of explain this to people and then how this sort of maybe led into Write Message?
Yeah. So, I mean, the hypothesis is that everyone wants a super niched website that happens to coincide with who they are, right? So everyone who does any sort of niche product or service, they know that they convert like gangbusters compared to general products or services, right? So if I were to go and produce a pricing course for web designers who are just starting out, that would probably be more appealing to that somebody who fits that profile than a generalized, hey, here's a course on pricing for freelancers, right? So what I started thinking was, well, what if I could not change the product, but change the way that I describe the product so people are more aware of how it can help them based on asking them questions. So, you know, when you opt into my main email course, I ask you what kind of work you do. So you tell me you're a marketer. So then from then on out, any examples I give you in the email course itself will not use words like test-driven development or, you know, design principles or any of the stuff that marketers don't care about. Instead, I'll help make the course relevant to them, same content, but just changing the examples and so based on what they do. And then when they get to the product page at the end of it, I'm going to show them, how can this help you as a marketer? Because people generally want to see that you understand who they are. So if I use language that appeals to marketers, if I use examples, if I show case studies and testimonials from other marketers who've succeeded with this, that makes the risk that this is going to not work for them substantially less. I don't need to go out and create a new course for marketers and one for designers and one for coders and so on. I just have my course, which is agnostic. It doesn't care what you do. And I position the course on the fly. So it's really just using age-old positioning kind of like best practices and just making it kind of one-off, if that makes sense.
Yeah. And so you would have to create 3 or 4 or 5 different email funnel sequences.
Well,
no,
you could.
That's not what you do.
No, I, so my email marketing app allows me to have conditional content and emails. So I can do things like, you know, here's the same intro that everyone sees. And then I say something like, for example, blah, blah, blah. And then that blah, blah, blah can change. I can say if they're a designer, show this. If they're a marketer, show that. If they're a copywriter, show this. And I can just selectively change out things both in the email copy or content along with on the website. So instead of having like 10 different sales pages, I actually have for my main product, Double Your Freelance Rate, there's 81 possible sales pages that can be shown where it's really just a combination of different things. Like if they joined because they're struggling to close proposals, make the headline change based off that. And then if they're a design agency, swap out every usage of the word freelancer on the sales page with design agency. And then when it gets to the offer, I have a survey that asks him, so what's your next step? What are you, now that you've learned this, what do you plan on doing next? And if they say something like, I need to have a system for selling, the way I describe and pitch the offer at the end is going to be in line with that versus if they say something like, I'm going to be a little more results focused or something like that, right? So I ask different questions and then I just use the answers to help make it so the product that I'm trying to get them to see the value of is a little more specific to them.
And I'm sure you started with two or three or four variations of a sales page and have slowly gotten to 81.
Keep in mind, it's not 81 unique pages.
Right.
It's just stacking and combinations, right? So like if this changed that, if that changed this and so on. So yeah, I started out by just changing social proof and the headline based on the kind of work they did. Because I actually, the reason I started doing this and why this was relatively easier for me was I got an email once from a copywriter who had been referred to the course from a friend of hers. She looked over the sales page. It started, I mean, when I first started the course, it was people like me who joined it and who bought it. So a lot of web developers, some web designers. She's a copywriter. She's reading over all the language and seeing the testimonials and so on. And she decides to email me saying, hey, I've heard good things, but it looks like this is kind of centered on web developers and designers. Can this help me? I'm a copywriter. And over email, since email's personalized, right, I can reply to her individually and move through that objection. I was able to let her know, actually, it's agnostic about what you do. It's more a framework on how to sell consulting. So she ended up buying, but I realized in the process that for everyone who took the time to actually write in and ask that, there's probably a lot of people who think that and then just close the tap. So that was kind of the genesis of it. And then I just thought, well, how about when they opt into the email course that leads to the sales page, I'll have a dropdown that just asks them what they do, like pick one. And then I'll write some really simple JavaScript when they get to the sales page that says, if they told me this, because it's a custom field in my email marketing app, then do this. Otherwise, do that. Otherwise, do that. And so on.
I wonder if that copywriter had any idea of the impact it would have sort of on the trajectory of your career and business the way from that one email.
Probably not. I mean, in a way, I actually started doing that's more like tailoring content based on who you are.
Right.
Before that, I was doing some what I also consider personalization. I'm doing things like if they're already on my list or they're a customer, don't show the opt-in forms anymore. Instead, point them to this was back when I was doing PlanScope. And so I had this kind of funnel where if you're anonymous, I want you on my list. And if you're a subscriber but not a customer, I want you to start a trial. And that was it. That's how I started. That was back in 2012, I think. Really simple, really straightforward. And that was literally all I did at first. And that worked. But that was more low, though, like life cycle based, right? Like depending on where they are in my sales funnel, I would change things. The copywriter example is more targeting like a firmographic or demographic.
And speaking of that sales page, did you write that copy? That copy is really, really good.
Yeah, I did. Thank you.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I've looked at that copy before and it's just like, it's really, really impressive.
Well, what's great is when you do this right, it makes copywriting pretty easy. I mean, obviously you're going to have the generic sales page that everyone sees who you don't know anything about. But when you start doing this, you can start saying things like, how would I rephrase this headline to speak a little more directly to somebody? So, you know, copywriting done right is an exercise of trying to think, how do I write copy that appeals to every possible persona that could buy from me?
Right.
But when you do this, you can be a little more, you get the benefits of writing to a niche that you can actually write with confidence about who somebody is, what they probably want from you and so on. So you get that benefit too. And it makes actually the exercise of copywriting quite a bit easier.
And as you were beginning to do this with Double Your Freelancing, you were sharing it, which, I mean, you've done prior to that too, but you were really sharing this personalization. You started speaking about personalization. At what point did it just become what you normally do by sharing what you're learning and implementing into sort of strategically thinking about what would become Right Message?
A product, yeah. So I didn't go into this thinking that this would be something that would be, you know, I was doing happily with Double Your Freelancing. I wasn't on the lookout for anything. Maybe subconsciously I was, because I do enjoy software. But I was doing well with Double Your Freelancing, and it was helping me make more sales for the same traffic. So I just looked at it as a CRO thing that allowed me to write a bit of code and get pretty big permanent payoff. So as you said, I was sharing it a lot on Twitter, and that got me on the radar of a few different companies who were measurably bigger than mine. And they asked me if I could do that on a consulting basis for them. So I did that for a handful of clients, and it worked well. I mean, they were getting results and all that good stuff. And then there were more people who wanted that, but I'm not cheap to hire as a consultant. So I could only really work with kind of top tier clients, but a lot more could benefit from that. So I actually ended up creating a course on automation and personalization. And I did that about a year and a half ago. So I released that, and as one of the bonuses in the course, I just packaged up the code on my site, Double Your Freelancing, and threw it in there with very minimal guidance. Just like, here's the code if you want to try this stuff, right? So I had a few hundred people buy that course, and the number one complaint was, okay, I'm sold on personalization, but what the heck do I do with this code? Because the people buying it were marketers who were wiring up automation emails and so on, right? So they didn't know what to do with it. My stock response of go hire a developer didn't fly with them. So that's what really, I guess, started laying the seeds, because we had, you know, I had people who were spending tens of thousands of dollars to have the result pay me. So I kind of validated it financially that way. And then I had people who bought this course for a few hundred dollars pay me to, in some part, learn how to do this themselves, but not be equipped with the turnkey way of doing it themselves. And so, you know, that came along. And then that led me to think, well, what if we took this code I'd written over the last few years and improved it and wrapped it kind of around a software as a service product and made it so instead of needing to go and edit some JavaScript file with a bunch of like weird jQuery stuff, if you could just click on a headline, change its content and say, show this if they're a customer. So that's kind of the foundation, I guess, of Right Message.
And then to acquire your first customers for Right Message, how'd you go about it?
So we put up a kind of a very teaser page where what we did is we had a few paragraph sales letter, and on the right side of the page, there were a few dropdowns that you would change the dropdown of like the email marketing app you use. Or you would change the dropdown of the website platform you use, so WordPress or Shopify or whatever else. And then in real time, it would just change the sales letter. So it kind of demoed, and it wasn't using Right Message. It was just some very hard-coded code. But it let you kind of get an idea of like, okay, I could see how if I knew that they use ConvertKit and I know that they are a software business, I can see kind of what this is trying to do. So we built up a list that way, and then we brought on 10 early access customers who paid for a year of access at a low cost. And they helped us develop the product really between early fall and when we launched, which was last January.
Impressive. And then how is that sort of changing today? Or like, what's your sort of channel for acquiring customers today?
So right now we haven't done anything any paid acquisition. We haven't done any real content market. We don't have much organic traffic hitting our site. So we have a lot of direct sales. Direct sales is working really, really well for us. So I mean, the process is literally be on a newsletter, get emailed their latest article, click through to their site, get hit by an exit pop-up, and reply to the email saying, why are you doing this? We can fix this. So that's that's been working really well. And also just kind of reaching out to people who fit the profile of who's really benefiting from us. So we're getting a lot of people benefiting who are spending a lot of money on paid ads because they can have one sales page per ad without needing to have a bunch of physical different sales pages. So you just have a single, not sales page, landing page. So you can just have a single landing page And then you could say when this ad clicks over to it, change the headline to just repeat the copy in the ad. Then when that ad, and you can set this up in a matter of minutes, and then that way you don't need to go in and duplicate and lead pages, 80 different landing pages. You just do it once. So people really like that who are spending money on ads. So it's easy enough just to find companies that are doing a lot with paid acquisition and basically pitch them on, hey, we're getting 20 to 40% increase in ad spend within less than an hour of getting set up. Can we help you do that? And we're also doing a lot with concierge. So we realize this is kind of new territory for a lot of people. So we've got two people on the team who all they do is help people get fully up and running. So they're really good at this stuff. They've been kind of drinking the Kool-Aid for a while. They can jump in, look at a business and say, here's what we could be doing. And so we offer that to all new customers at the moment.
It's sort of a process of, or is it sort of a process of like educating and selling at the same time?
And that's the trick. Since we're not really getting people to switch from another product, we need to help educate them about what's possible. And then from there, get them to take that next step and buy. So that's the only downside to what we're in a way entering a new market, which is always kind of suicide for a lot of companies. But, you know, I look at it as we're kind of hopefully a bit like where Optimizely was less than a decade ago when no one knew what A/B testing was, no one knew how to do it. But now it's kind of, you know, they don't need to tell people that they should be doing experimentation or A/B testing. Instead, most people take it for granted and then they can, you know, they go to Optimizely or something.
So the people who are benefiting most are people sort of with getting a ton of paid traffic. So they're usually bigger companies with the big ad spends. Is there sort of like a baseline metric that you would recommend a company or even a person selling, or like, is it visitors? Is it revenues? Is it something else that?
Yeah. I mean, the paid example is just the one that usually has pretty immediate benefit because if you're paying a few thousand a month, you should see results pretty much overnight. But we also, I mean, really it's, you know, we have everyone from small services companies that get a few hundred people at max a month hitting their site. But the lead value is so high because if they get a lead and that lead turns into a customer, that's worth tens of thousands of dollars for them. So for them, it's not like with A/B testing where you need super high volume to make it worthwhile. For us, it's a matter of saying, like, if we can get you one more lead and one out of 10 people convert into from leads convert into customers and you get, you know, your average customer's valued at $50,000. I mean, 5,000 per lead is pretty high, right? So what can we do? So just like what you would do already, if you're going to sell over the phone, if they opt in and become a lead, you're going to make your sales process with them super personalized. I mean, a proposal is a personalized sales letter, right? So that's what we're just trying to help people either optimize for more leads or for other people, like increasing down funnel performance. So the model of an audience-based business where they have a blog, this blog generates opt-ins, they write new content, they push people back to their site. Maybe they do like a quarterly launch of a product or something. They're really a good fit too, because we can do things like what I talked about earlier, where we don't show opt-ins for subscribers and we can help them put into place profiling sequences that help build up kind of a profile about who somebody is. So when they're looking at a sales page, we can then help them become a little more aware of how that thing will help them. So that's one. Another one is like industry, like software that targets different industries. So if this software can help financial companies, retail companies, construction companies, and so on, a lot of them will have, like you talked about earlier, like a dedicated landing page for like slash construction, which is all about construction. But when they leave that landing page to go to the homepage or the pricing page or the signup page, if you can carry over the theme, like pricing for construction companies or on the signup page, get ready to supercharge your construction company or whatever else. If you can carry that language over, that tends to have a very nice and immediate benefit because people are thinking, okay, this is software that's built just for construction companies. Well, no, it isn't. But we're showing how it can help you as a construction company as you move around our marketing site.
Right. And so the sort of high lifetime value, the further down the funnel people, but I mean, like your starter pricing, if I'm correct, I checked it yesterday, is quite reasonable to the point where I actually don't know how some people go about getting that so that when they opt in, they get the email, they go back to your blog and they get the pop-up. That thing's so annoying to see from people, like the one where you're using to sell your service.
Yeah, it's just, that's a terrible user experience. I mean, if I'm on your list and you're making it so every time I move my mouse, I'm getting hit with a pop-up asking me for my email address that you just emailed me on.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just bad user experience. But unfortunately, the tools and the email marketing apps and so on don't make it easy to counter that.
Right.
So that's one of the reasons a lot of people actually join Write Messages, because it's just an annoyance that they can basically eliminate.
And then that box or that pop-up, whatever it happens to be, could direct people so further down the funnel that you want them.
Yeah. So instead of, you don't need to get rid of that real estate.
Right.
You can make it so the exit pop-up is instead saying, hey, why don't you check out this course or something if they haven't bought that course? And then if they have bought that course, hey, well, as a customer of whatever, why don't you check out this other course that relates to the course you already bought in X, Y, and Z way? So, you know, you can do kind of these nice funnel kind of, we call them offer funnels, right? Where you still have call to actions. It's just they change depending on where somebody is in your offer funnel.
Right. And I would think that a huge like hurdle for people, especially people with sort of without that huge lifetime value or that like giant ad spend right now, people sort of getting started but could still benefit from this, it would be sort of that getting overwhelmed with like, I mean, hearing the 82 variations of a sales page, like, oh my God, how am I going to get there? I'm assuming that the concierge service you're offering is 100% to overcome that and wipe that out for people.
Yes, but it's still an objection, right? So the issue I would say is that we started by building a platform that can literally do anything. It's like an if this then that, but for your website, which is a little, if you don't know where to start, intimidating. So we did start by having included recipes. So when you go to get set up, it's like, here are some common things and we'll walk you through doing them. But one thing we're releasing actually, amazingly, next week is something called Write Bar. And Write Bar is kind of like a hello bar, but it's, you know, just drop in our JavaScript in your site with a click, integrate with whatever email marketing app or CRM you happen to use. And then we'll automatically give you like a hello bar or Sumo's smart bar, but we'll actually make it actually smart where if they're anonymous, we'll incentivize them to get on your list. And we'll have like templates. Like if you're a software business, your funnel is probably like anonymous subscriber, trial started, customer, maybe annual customer, and then churned or something like that. If you're a info product business, it could be anonymous subscriber, bought product A, bought product B, you know, and so on. So we make it really easy for you to map this out in like 5 minutes, where you can say, put this across my whole site or just on these pages, and then make this top bar react depending on where somebody is in your sales funnel. So that's the thing people like about this is it's turnkey. It's just like, okay, cool. Like that's a CRO tactic. I don't need to think too hard about what to change. And yeah, so we're actually really excited about that because we're going to start rolling out more things that are, you know, making it easy to show testimonials that are more relevant. Because right now, if you wanted to swap out testimonials, you would need to click on the photo of the person, change it to be a designer designer that likes your product, click on the testimonial itself, change it to be the quote, click on the name, change it to be, you know, Bob the designer, and then publish that and tie those changes to if they're a designer. So we're hoping to make it just more easy where you can have like a testimonial database and all these different things. But we started with a platform which power users and people who kind of get what we're doing love because it has unlimited flexibility. But what people want is just really quick, like 5 minute additions.
So WriteBar is going to be a paid service or app.
Correct. Yeah. And it's going to be cheaper. So it'll be $29 a month. The idea is get people in there. We have goal. So one thing I didn't mention yet is we have goal conversion reporting. So we'll not only show you your personalized versus unpersonalized conversion rates, because we do 90% of people get personalized to, the other 10% don't, but we're going to break that out by segment. So how do designers opt in relative to developers? How do, you know, this, how do the people, how do CMOs sign up compared to CTOs? So it'll do that out of the box. And the idea is we want WriteBar to be kind of like a gateway drug into personalization, where they do this, they have an offer funnel, they like it. Now they're thinking, well, hell, I want to do this now for my sales pages, and I want to do this for my homepage hero area and so on. So WriteBar is very prescribed, very canned. I mean, you can change the styling and design, but it's just a top bar. So, you know, the idea is get people in there, get them to see, wow, you've had 30% more opt-ins over the last month, all thanks to this thing. Wouldn't it be nice to then upgrade to the next year? So we're hoping that this will be more the entry point for most people.
Fair enough. I guess I was trying to figure out what the strategy was going to be, if it was paid sort of stepping into the service or if it was like a lead generation for you.
So when we launch, and we're going to do a product launch, we're going to do a list launch, we're going to make it free during the launch window, free for life, and it'll have a personalized by Write Message kind of icon thingy on it. So, but we decided instead of making it like free forever and dealing with kind of that, we just don't have the support to handle that. So we're going to make it free for life during launch, and then post launch it'll be $29 a month.
Well, this seems like a perfect time for a call to action. Where can the listeners go and maybe get into this launch sequence?
Yeah, so if you go to rightmessage.com/hack, you'll see some personalization in action. We're going to take into account that you came from this podcast. And if you want to have a fun thought experiment, go to rightmessage.com in incognito mode after that directly without the /hack, and you'll be able to see without that. So yeah, that's the URL.
Very cool. All right, Brandon. Well, thanks so much for stopping by again 3 years later. I look forward to seeing what the heck you're up to 3 years from now. And thanks for sharing about personalization. People can track you down on Twitter at Brandon Dunn. I will link to in the show notes, as well as rightmessage.com/hack is your place to see how this works. And I'll link to Brennan's original episode as well if you want to see or hear the pre-right message Brennan. So thanks so much, Brennan, for sharing so openly. And I don't know, man, just keep doing what you're doing because it's awesome to watch.
I will. Well, thank you, John. Thanks for having me again.
All right. Well, that was a lot of fun. It's, I don't know, it makes me really, I guess, appreciate and realize how long I've been doing this show when I started having guests on that had been on 3 years ago and like 400 episodes ago. You really should, though. It's quite fascinating to go back and listen to Brennan 3 years ago, because he was doing some kick-ass things then, but he's been on fire since then, just doing amazing things. So it's cool to actually see that sort of, or hear that change. So I'll link to his original episode in the show notes for you. You can find it at hacktheentrepreneur.com. And yeah, there'll be two Brennan Dunns, this new one and that one. I highly suggest you checking it out. Plus, make sure to head over to rightmessage.com/hack and get the right bar for your website. Absolutely free, as long as you are listening to this the week it's been published. All right, well, I do appreciate you stopping by. It's been a lot of fun. And please, until next time, keep hacking the entrepreneur.